I'm Christine Dean, and we do have Bingham and Thorne here, Bob Bingham and Gordon Thorne, a duo who's been playing blues together for quite a while now. And how are you guys doing today?
We're good. Doing good.
Yeah. We're here in one piece.
That's the most important part. What do you want to start out with today?
We're going to do an old Mance Lipscomb tune, a Texas blues called Charlie James.
All right.
Well, if you see Charlie James coming down the road, don't you tell him which way you seen me go. In the morning soon, in the morning soon, well, I'm going back to Houston in the morning soon. I had a whole lot of trouble one day. Next day I didn't know what to do. I looked down the road just as far as I could see. Thought I spied my old time used to be. Had a whole lot of money one day. Next day I didn't have a dime. I looked down the road just as far as I could see. And I thought I spied my old time. Well, nobody ever knows you when you're down and out. Ask them for a favor, they don't know what it's all about. Well, you might go and you may try to stay, but you'll be back some old rainy day. If you see Charlie James coming down the road, won't you please tell him which way you see me going? In the morning soon, in the morning soon. Well, I'm going back to Houston in the morning soon.
That is Bingham and Thorne on KUMD with Charlie James. And should mention that you guys are going to be playing tonight at the Red Mug in Superior at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, right. We'll be in there. We've never been there before. Kind of searching for a nice room in Duluth where we can be heard instead of fighting a barroom crowd. So we like playing in the bars too, but we're just kind of looking for a nicer, quieter setting. So hopefully that place will work out.
Okay.
Never been in there, so...
I've seen a few shows there. It's not
nice
bad at
place.
All. Yeah, nice place. Bob Bingham, Gordon Thorne, you guys have been doing this for a while together, but you both started out musically separately, doing kind of sort of different things. Bob, you were one of the founding members of Lamont Cranston, right?
40 years ago.
And you, early on, you did a lot of electric blues. Now, did you start with electric blues, or is that...
I started out playing surf music when I was like... I've revealed my age now. I started out in 1964. I played in a surf band, and we had matching white Levi's and striped surfer shirts. We were called the Talisman, and we played a lot of Venture songs, and we played surf music. I mean, that's what I started out at, and then I played in some cover bands. And then when I moved to Minneapolis in 69 or 70, somewhere around that.
And that was from Detroit, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I ran into Pat Hayes, and we, you know, I saw that he, you know, I was starting to get interested in the blues. I was listening to Paul Butterfield and guys like that, and then Pat could play harmonica, and one thing led to another, and, you know, we started that band, and I played in that band 5 different times. I got fired 3 times, and I think I quit twice. But I hold the record.
And Gordon, now you have been doing more acoustic stuff. Or
yeah,
you doing
I was
to start with.
I was finger picking since I picked up the guitar. That's what I just naturally gravitated towards. And then, sometime in the mid '80s, early '80s, I started playing electric guitar. I bought an electric guitar and was playing in a band and playing all different kinds of stuff. You know, blues and country and. You know, anything that had cool guitar playing on it, I like to play. And a mutual friend of ours informed me that there was this guy, you know, that Bob was living up in this little cabin up in the woods and was learning how to finger pick. So I went and found him, and we just kind of traded off. He was showing me stuff on electric guitar, and I was showing him some of this stuff. And then one thing led to another, and here we are, you know.
Now, when was that? Did you say that was the 80s?
That was probably 85, 86, maybe.
Because you were both kind of...
No, it was later.
It was about 1990, yeah. I think, because I just had moved to Phoenix right after that.
Yeah, it was.
And that's where we recorded our first album, was in Phoenix. But Gordon showed up. I mean, my place is out in the sticks. I mean, I live... It's a mile on a dirt road just to find me, and Gordon showed up on my porch. I mean, it was like, who's this guy?
Did you know each other?
Because you
both had been in the Minneapolis music scene.
Right.
Gordon, you were kind of in the West Bank of Minneapolis scene doing the acoustic stuff. You were playing the blues, electric blues stuff.
I was in the Triangle Bar.
Those places never cross paths.
That's what I think is so fascinating.
I was in the Triangle Bar, and Gordon was down the street playing in the Riverside Cafe, and we never knew each other because those two factions never mixed in those days. You know, it just didn't.
So what on earth inspired you to you didn't know him yet, to go up there?
I knew he was a bad guitar player.
I needed a lot of tutoring.
No, I don't mean bad. I mean, he was good. I knew he was good, and I wanted to learn some stuff.
He was bad.
Yeah, he was bad. I wanted to learn some stuff, so I figured, what the heck? What's he going to do, run me off of there with a shotgun?
So you knew him by reputation, if not
personally.
Yeah,
I knew about his reputation as an electric player. Mm-hmm. I'd heard him play. Many times, actually.
Okay. But,
so he knew all that. He knew all that Chicago blues stuff, and there's a lot of cool tricks, you know, that if you get somebody to show them to you, they're a lot easier to learn than trying to pick them off the record, which is what I generally do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just pick stuff off the record.
So you wanted to get some electric knowledge from him, and were you looking for?
Able
to get some acoustic
picked
stuff
up
from
my
him?
Old guitar and started playing all this wild Blind Blake stuff, and I thought, man, where'd this guy come from? He just showed up out of nowhere. I mean, there's nobody else out there except me. I got the only cabin at the end of the road, and it was just like, this was a gift from God, you know? It was like, he showed up, and you know, like, I started playing acoustic guitar, really. I started finger picking when I was 40, and I'd never sang before then, because they never let me sing in the band.
And I was going to say, I think you have a great voice for what you guys are doing.
Well, I wish you'd... I'll give you Pat Hayes' phone number when I leave here, and you can call him up and tell him that. tell that to Kim Wilson next time you run into him, because those guys, there was a saying, you know, the microphone is a lethal weapon in Bingham's hands. Never let him get near the microphone. And for various and sundry reasons besides my lack of singing acumen. But, you know, I started singing and playing acoustic guitar out of desperation because I realized at the age of 40 there was no way I was going to get along in a band. It just wasn't going to happen. I mean, and
personality-wise, or
personality-wise, and you know,
just the
commitment required,
or
it's like I really didn't feel that comfortable, you know, going out and playing electric guitar all the time. Although I do gigs from time to time. I mean, I get called up to go out and do it, and I don't mind it, but I didn't want to do it four or five nights a week like I'd been doing it, and it seemed like playing acoustic guitar and playing solo, that made me fireproof. I couldn't get fired anymore or get in any arguments with anybody because I was playing solo. Now the only guy I got to argue with is Gordy. And we don't argue that often.
No, we don't.
We get along pretty darn good.
Well, that's great. And, Gordon, you're in Finland, Minnesota, right?
I live in Finland, yeah.
So you're both up north here.
Yeah, we live about half an hour away from each other.
So. Mm-hmm. And you said you've been on the road a little bit or doing a bunch of shows in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah. This July was a busy month. I think we're going to have about 20 nights of 20 gigs in the month of July. Mm-hmm. We've played, or we will have played by the end of it. And we were down in southern Wisconsin, Rochester, St. Cloud. We kind of just made a swing, played a whole bunch of nights, and then we'll be in Duluth tonight and tomorrow night also at the Horseshoe Bar. And then we play once a week in Finland at the West Branch. That's our home base gig.
It's our clubhouse.
It's our clubhouse gig. We go in there and just have a great time every Wednesday night.
Pretty much every Wednesday?
Yeah, every Wednesday we're in town. You know, unless we're out playing another gig somewhere, we play there every Wednesday. So.
Now, do you guys have a website? I don't think you do.
Yeah, we got a website, but it's going to get taken down. We're going to redo it. We're going to be redoing it real soon.
Oh, you know what? That's right. I think I did find it.
There's not much on it. Looking for
your gigs. Like, where are these guys playing?
Yeah, I know. We're really bad when it comes to self-promotion. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, just selling CDs is like... pulling teeth with us. I mean,
we can't move any product.
No, we can't move product. we just like playing the music. And I should mention here that for those of you out there who are blues fans or whatever, we play a variety of different stuff. And we consider ourselves, we're not imitators. We're interpreters. We take tunes. If you hear us do a Robert Johnson tune, if you're coming to listen to somebody do it just like Robert Johnson, you're coming to the wrong place. Because we're going to take a tune and we're going to interpret it and we're going to push it through like what I like to call the Bingham and Thorne Play-Doh machine. And it's going to come out sounding like Bingham and Thorne. And you know, that's not that we're not tipping the hat to the old blues guys because we are.
But, oh, yeah, we're stealing their licks all over the place. But
man,
we're just
like mad.
But we're just reconfiguring them.
Well, stuff in there. Let's hear another one. Is this one that you that has the Bingham and Thorne treatment?
You want to do the rag?
Yeah, we'll play. Yeah, well, sure. We'll try that. We'll play this little rag I wrote this winter. So,
but you know, there's a chance. There's a crash and burn possibility on this.
Well, that makes it all that more exciting.
For me, maybe. But
it's Bingham and Thorne on KUMD.
This is called Gordy's Garage Rag. get one clunker on that one.
There's no crashing and burning. That was good.
No.
That's Bob Bingham and Gordon Thorne on KUMD with Gordy's Garage Rag. Did you write that one in the garage, Gordy?
I just made it up last winter, yeah. That's what Bob calls it. I have a hard time giving things titles, so.
Instrumentals usually have the most fun titles because you can call them anything you want.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true. But that's just so that little rag thing. We do quite a bit of stuff like that, and not just the blues type of things, And we'll play quite a few instrumentals in the course of an evening, and if we're in the right place, depending on the setting. If it's in a bar, those things don't work. But in a room like tonight, you'll be able to hear a little bit more of that kind of stuff.
How do you decide which songs you're gonna do?
We
trade off.
Oh yeah?
His turn, my turn, and you just take whatever comes at you.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no arguing, no discussion. It's usually just, what are you gonna do? So that makes it 50% easier to decide what to play. Sometimes we'll work off a list if we're doing a concert. We did a concert gig over in Wisconsin and in a 250-seat auditorium, and in that case we had the list in front of us. But that didn't stop me from wisecracking a lot. Generally
what we'll do is we improvise most. That was a set piece that you just heard. But generally, you never know where a song's going to go with us. We're always experimenting all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just weaving the guitars around. If I hear Bob play something, I'll go somewhere else and try to find another spot. And we're just weaving around and. Some nights it's really cool and it always seems to work, but you're always looking for that one little lick or that one little moment where things are just really clicking, mm-hmm. And when you play it the same way, you then you just get bored with them, mm-hmm. So it keeps it interesting that way.
It's a lot for, coming from a band situation, like I played in probably 30 different bands over the years and I always thought that the fingerstyle guys, the problem with them was they were so limited. But it's actually playing in a duet with Gordy, it's a lot less restrictive than playing in a band because you don't have as many heads to deal with. And, you can wander around. Gordy will pull tunes out that I don't know at all. On the gig, he'll go, let's try this. some obscure song by some guy that I haven't ever heard of. And we'll just go, yeah, okay, let's see what happens. And sometimes it works. Sometimes we crash, but we don't burn too quickly, and it's just a real nice freedom being able to play music like that, rather than have to listen to the bass player go, well, I don't want to do that song, or you get an argument with the singer or something. Usually with me and Gordy, it's just we get to hurl stuff at each other at will, and it makes for an interesting night.
It's always.
And so, Gordy, are you one of those people with just this record collection at home of all sorts of crazy stuff?
I have a great record collection, but I got a terrible CD collection. Really,
That doesn't surprise me.
I got a great record collection. My uncle was a record collector, and that's where I kind of started getting into this stuff back when I started listening to weird. He was a 78 collector, and so when 16, 17 years old, I was listening to weird stuff that my peer group wasn't really listening to. I still like that stuff too, but I had this other side of me, and I've just always been. I got a huge record collection, but I don't even own it anymore. Actually, when I left to move up here permanently, which was almost 25 years ago, I gave it to a friend of mine, and he's still got it.
He's still looking after it for you.
Yeah, he's. But when you're
pulling something, something out that he's never heard before, where does that come from? Where have you heard it?
I remember stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, and my CD collection isn't small, but it's really, I don't buy anything on CD that I could hear on the radio,
mm-hmm.
really, because I don't have that much time to listen to stuff, if I'm going to buy a CD, I'm going to buy something that, by somebody that, is going to, that I can steal something from, basically, if there's not something I want to steal on there, I pretty much don't buy it, because I just don't have the time to listen to a lot of new stuff,
You listen to a lot of piano players, though.
Yeah, I love...
That's one thing, Fats Waller and a lot of those old-time piano players, that's one of your...
That's one of my favorites. I arranged a bunch of Jelly Roll Morton songs about 3 years ago, which I wished I'd recorded them because now I can barely play them because they were such a chore to do, and they were really complicated, and I spent, you know, I would just have the same CD in the car or the truck for months, and I'd listen to, I'd burn a couple of songs onto a CD, and I would just listen to them, to the solo piano thing, and then I would slowly just work out in my head how I wanted to arrange it for guitar and just pluck away at it and come up with an arrangement, you know.
Well, that sounds like a really good way to stretch yourself and to kind of keep things fresh.
I'm a primitive boy over here. I'm primitive boy. I mean, I'm the other end of the spectrum. I'm just not really as accomplished fingerstyle player as Gordy. So I'm at the opposite end, and it kind of works between the two of us. I mean, Gordy knows the, you know, all the chords and all the, you know, I'm just a real basic, you know, when there's more than three or four chords, you know, I get lost pretty easily, but Gordy usually keeps me on course. He's the captain of the ship. It works out well, you know, having two diverse. I'm more into my favorite keys are E and A, and Gordy's are C and G.
Yeah.
He's a ragtime guy, and I'm more of a Texas blues type of, you know, Delta blues style of player. It works great.
It does work out well, because I like playing that stuff too. But and the other thing is that Bob lives in Florida in the wintertime, mm-hmm. and consequently only really play together for 6 months out of the year, and it gives both of us a chance to do whatever else we like to do with the instrument in, you know, in your own, you know, in the wintertime. I play, you know, a lot of these songs I won't even play. I'll play a whole different kind of repertoire. You know, I'll just focus in more on instrumentals or, you know, whatever happens to suit me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it works out real well. And we'll do Up North Blues. Why don't we try that? We'll give you a little taste. This is kind of the more raggy sound.
I gotta get my capo out. Yeah, I always have to ask Gordy. One thing we should mention while we're talking about this is we don't play over the top of each other with our guitars. From a technical viewpoint, we use alternative tuning. Sometimes I'll be in an open G tuning, and Gordy will be capoed differently on the guitar. So rarely are we both playing in the same position on the guitar at the same time. It's a trick of the trade. Gordy taught it to me. And that's when you get that weaving sound out of the guitar, it's because the notes are kind of inverted differently when you're using different tunings in the capo and stuff, and it sounds like it's really complicated. Yeah, I'd like to say it isn't, but it's not easy to do either.
It's not that complicated.
But, you know, it sounds like if there's some young guitarists out there and they want to get a few tips and tricks, they should stop by tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If you like playing guitar, you'll see a lot of neat stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. It's because neither one of us are like virtuoso guitar players, but we've been on the instrument long enough to know how to get around in our own way, you know.
And so that's
the interesting thing.
You're not going to get the Pat Donahue, Phil Haywood treatment from us. I mean, it's going to be more of a straight ahead, you know, it's doable. What we're doing is doable. Those guys
you
are at home.
You can do this at home.
Yeah. Go ahead and try it at home.
All right.
If you're playing along, we're in the key of C.
It's Bingham and Thorne on KUMB.
It's called the Up North Blues.
Now I thought I heard my old up north whistle when she blow. Oh yeah, I thought I heard my up north whistle when she blows. Oh, she's blowing just like she ain't gonna blow no more. I went to sleep last night, I had them blues, they creeping around my bed. I went to sleep last night, I had them blues creeping around my bed. Well, I don't mind how they creep, but they's trampling on my head. Beginning to hurt. I thought I heard my baby when she called my name. Yeah, I thought I heard my baby when she called my name. Well, she's calling so sweet, calling so doggone plain. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going away, baby, and I'm sorry, but I can't take you. Yeah, I'm headed north, baby, and I'm sorry, but I can't take you. Oh, 'cause where I'm going, there ain't nothing you can do. Oh, but don't you worry, darling, why your good man is gone. So don't you worry, baby, why your good man is gone. Because you know you got the pistol and I won't do no wrong. Well, now them St. Paul girls, you know they make me so awful tired. Yeah, them St. Paul women, you know they're making me so awful tired. They got a handful of gimme and a mouthful of much obliged. Thank you, sir. 'Cause my mama's getting old and her hair is turning gray. My mama's getting old and her hair is turning gray. It about break her heart. No, I barrel house this way. Oh, I thought I heard my up north whistle when she blow. I thought I heard my up north whistle when she blow. She blowing just like ain't gonna blow no more. Oh yeah, she blowing just like she ain't gonna blow no more.
Raggy thing in C.
And now, where did that one come from?
That one came from it's just a whole bunch of different stuff. Larry Johnson recorded a song that was similar to that, and then it's got just a bunch of stolen licks, and you know, one of those songs that just I've been playing for years, and it always changes. You know, just you never know where it's really gonna go.
Well, I'm going to put in a plug for Larry Johnson right now. His what was the name of that first album that I still got it in vinyl,
oh,
too?
Fast and Funky.
One of the greatest acoustic, if you like acoustic ragtime blues, it's probably one of the best albums I've ever heard.
Yes.
I mean, every song on it's fabulous, but Larry drifted into obscurity at some point, and he was a protege of Reverend Gary Davis. He's actually a young guy. Learning from him.
Yeah, he was really cool. That was one of the first records that kind of went, that's the real thing, you know, to me.
Well,
Blue Goose Records.
What records?
Blue Goose.
As what was
that? Defunct label. No.
I think it's been it's on CD. I think there's a Japanese company that reissued it on CD. You could probably find it on the internet somewhere. But
one of the all-time great records.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
All right, that's good to know. Well, thanks so much, guys. We have time for one more quick tune.
Okay.
What do you want to finish with here?
Go ahead, Bobby.
It's Bingham and Thorne on KUMD.
Do a little Delta blues thing.
Okay.
They're playing
tonight at
the Red Mug Coffee House in Superior, 8 o'clock.
Here's an old Willie Brown tune. Gordy's got it tuned down a little bit. So we're sort of in the same area.
Approximately.
A song we've been playing for quite a few years. It's called the M&O Blues. It's an old Willie Brown tune.
Catch that M&O. When I leave here, I'm gonna catch that M&O. I'm going way down south, where I've never been before. I had a notion, Lord, and I believe I will. I had a notion, Lord, and I believe I will. I'm gonna build me a mansion out on Decatur Hill. All you men ought to be ashamed of yourself. All you men ought to be ashamed of yourself. Going round swearing for God, got a poor woman by yourself.
All right.
Kiss my woman, till she lay down across the bed. I kiss my woman, till she lay down across the bed. Then she looked so ambitious, took back everything I said. When I leave here, I'm gonna catch that M&O. When I leave here, I'm gonna catch that M&O. I'm going way down south, where I've never been before.
That's Bingham and Thorne on KUMD. Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
No problem. And again, they're going to be playing at the Red Mug Coffee House in Superior tonight at 8 o'clock.
And the Horseshoe Bar tomorrow.
From 8 to 12.
And that's in
West Duluth.
West Duluth?
Yeah.
All right. Horseshoe Bar.